Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to my show. I am Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and this is a place I like to bring topics I find that others are experiencing and may wish for a frank discussion of tips and solutions to improve and inspire their lives. We have a full range of topics from health and death to dating and cookies. And I grew up by asking why in all areas of my life, and it is something that I still live by today. My guests and I talk about a topic in casual conversation so you, the listener, can feel like you are across the table from us with a coffee or tea. I welcome you, the listeners, and I hope to answer some of your questions as I speak with the guest of the day. If you would like to call into the show, I welcome you. Please dial 424-258-9318, then push 1 so I can see that you wish to speak on the air. I would also encourage you to follow my show page, and you will know what I touch on next and when my next show is. So now it's time to share with you and start the show. And welcome. This month, I'm talking about a product that I have found to improve the quality of life. And each month I do a different product or something that comes across my desk that I think is really, really great. So today I'm sharing about memory. What can we remember about names and places and, you know, what we had for lunch? The amazing company is Quincy Bioscience, and the product is called Prevagen Professional. The reason I started taking it was after several stressful life events I've had in the past several years, I found I was forgetting things, you know, that it would have just happened or people's names and such. And I also found I had real issues with my kids. You know, they would say to me something like, you're not listening to me. Why are you not paying attention to me? And I really did not know what to do there. So I started taking one capsule of Prevagen Professional, 40 milligrams, but they also have a 10 milligrams, so you can also call and ask about that. And I started taking just one capsule. This one capsule just seemed to be perfect for me. It has a unique ingredient to help improve short-term memory and word recall. It does not interact with any other supplements or medications, and it has no common allergens. And research has shown it can reduce brain cell loss up to 50%. You know, I think that's a really great margin, and it's very, very important to say that again. Reduces brain cell loss up to 50%. Now, that does not mean that you wait until you've lost 50% of your brain mass, and then you decide to take this product, and you're going to get that back. That's no. So if you're in your 40s and 50s, and you're starting to notice that you're not really thinking of things that you should have remembered and that things are not coming up in your memory really quickly, that's the time to start taking this product. I would encourage you to give them a call and ask them how Prevagen Professional may help you. The phone number is 888-895-6463. They have tons of clinical studies and reports about how Prevagen Professional has helped others. You just need to ask them for help. So when you call in, it's very important that you say to them you heard it on the radio, and also that you say, you know, I really need some help and I don't really know where to go or how to do that or what I should possibly be taking. So if you can give me some more information about that, they'd be more than happy to help you. I know it works for me, and I just wanted to share this with you. So today, it's one day after the presidential elections. Many people are questioning the economy and their jobs, and my guest, David Kimball, has a passion to help families get out of debt and save money. So, David, are you with us?
I'm with you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us. You know, I find so many people are so concerned day to day, and granted, the elections may or may not have gone how you anticipated, but I think everybody is concerned about, you know, the dollar. I know we just before the show, the stock market is in the toilet. You know, it has rapidly gone down, and what does that really mean for people? You know, we bring home the check, we go out, we get a job, we do things as parents that we should do, but life just doesn't always work out that way. So I know you've had a lot of experience and you've done a lot of things and working with others and helping them figure out their financial issues. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself first?
Well, my passion is to help families get out of debt, save some money, and not have to worry about whatever the economy happens to be. At my website, I've got a ton of articles, all this free stuff that people can go to and just start getting a handle. And so that's my backup. That's what I really like doing. I like sitting down one-on-one or on the phone with a family, with a couple, and say, tell me your story. What is your goal? And I have a program to help them reach their goal financially.
You know what I really find is that there's so many books out there and there's so much information, and I know this myself being as a naturopathic doctor, you know, my website, Out of the Box Healthcare, where I'm always talking about that too. We always say, you know, it's great, there's tons of books, you know, there's a lot of TV shows, there's a lot of radio, there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of internet, and everybody can find things, but still it seems when you turn around, the person next to you still has an issue. You know, just like with your finances, you know, if all this information, all these gurus out there really could solve all the issues, then why is not everybody doing it? And I really find that people are individuals and need that individual, you know, care.
Here's what I have discovered, Dr. Jeanette. The reason a budget or a spending plan or whatever you want to call it doesn't work is you don't make it personal. Right along the lines what you said, people will not make it itemizedly personalized to their family, to their spending habits, to their personality. And that is where they fail. They'll buy a book from a specific guru, will buy a software program, go to a seminar or a workshop. And I've had people call me and say, I went there, but I got home and that was it, because we get off the high of the mountain emotionally. We come back to reality, and the spending stuff is still there because they didn't come home. They didn't have anyone to talk to make it personal, make it real to their situation.
You know, that is so, I mean, I find that in all ways that I help with clients, and I'm sure you do too, is that, you know, when you go to these big things, really what you bought was you bought the hype. You know, you bought a promise, and you thought that maybe when you walked out the door that you were given the golden coin and that was going to solve all your issues, that you didn't have to participate in the process. And I think what we are both saying is that you need to participate in the process, because otherwise it just doesn't come out of the air. It's not going to happen just because you walked in, you know, passed into the guru's energy and paid all this money, and all of a sudden it's going to happen.
Right. It's that taking action. It's that last step. After you've learned everything, okay, now, what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to put the book home and say, I tried it, I paid my $100, it didn't work, to all these people, it's all a waste of money? No, it's not. 99% of the gurus who you actually can connect with probably have a solution that you can implement. I always say, if I have not learned anything new, that I really haven't been listening to you. If I don't put anything into action, I simply waste my money and my time.
Right. Well, you know, we talk about financial, and everybody says, financial, that's a big word for somebody else, but, you know, I'm going paycheck to paycheck. You know, I mean, what do you even define as financial anymore? Because I can honestly tell you, you know, we suffered Hurricane Katrina here, and you know, when you look at your, you know, $300,000 house that you just sold for like $5,000 after the storm because you couldn't do anything with it and you didn't have insurance, I mean, you're talking financial? No, it's really called, you know, you're going back up that hill by your fingernails. So, I mean, what does it really even mean when you say financial to the, you know, these days, I think?
That's an interesting question. I would define that as financial, anything money. Preparing. And like you said, for the hurricane Katrina and then Sandy, who that just wiped out another, you know, tons of billions of dollars worth of property and lives. We have to prepare for that storm. It could be a financial storm because we lost our job, or a devastation of a hurricane. But either way, let me go back. The reason that the housing crisis happened, people were buying too much house than they could afford. They weren't looking at their financials or their money or their budget and saying, okay, here's realistically, here's all my expenses, here's all my income. What can I realistically afford? There was so much hype going around. You can afford a $300,000 home on $30,000 mm-hmm. income. Mm-hmm. At the time you could, because the banks were accepting the lower payments. As soon as those values started going down, the bank said, whoa, we can't afford this anymore. We're calling you in. And we weren't prepared for that. People on the average were putting down maybe 1% or even nothing. They were using a loan to pay for their initial expenses for their loan. And it was crazy. They were getting 110% loan. So when we talk about finances, we're talking about money. Look, what's your overall situation? If I can't afford it, don't do it, no matter what some commercial is saying. I can afford the payment.
Right.
It's not easy. It's easy payments until reality hits, life hits, and the money dries up. And then what do?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people spend money on things that they really don't need to spend money on. Granted, those are accessories. But also people don't even seek out ways to save money. And they're like, oh, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not a coupon person. I'm not an internet, you know, Groupon or whatever that is. But, you know, there's things that you really can do to be able to watch what you're spending your money on. In other words, if I'm walking into a restaurant, you know, and I know we're going to spend $50 for dinner, but I remember I saw that coupon on the internet about 4 or 5 days ago, maybe I should think, maybe I ought to go get that, you know? So maybe making some slight choices differently.
Well, take one step further back than that. Can you even afford to take that
right.
Let's say you got a $10 coupon. Can you even afford that $40 dinner?
Right.
Is it within your budget? Is it within the allowable expenses? Well, you don't know that if you don't have a written plan. If you're not cognizant in your brain, you know something? For this month, I have $200 left for food.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to take that discipline, and that's all I have left. That right there, here's what I tell my clients. I don't care what you spend your money on. If you want to take a vacation, you want to go buy, you know, 10, 20 DVDs, you want to go out to dinner every night, do it as long as it fits within your budget.
Right.
As long as what you have established, you stick to, it doesn't matter what you spend it on. But keep it within your agreed upon spending limits that you set forth realistically at the beginning of each month. That is right there, I believe, the key to a successful spending plan, successful financials, successful handling of money. If we would do that and we go to look for a house, we would see, you know something? My maximum payment, I can afford $725 a month. Okay. Now, how much of a house can I afford for $725? And I just have to go through weeks and weeks until something comes up that I can get the payments realistically within $725 a month.
You know, I think so many people don't even have a plan. You know, they just pick out, you say, oh, well, I'll pay those next week or whatever. You know, that paycheck in your hand on Friday, and then how quickly does it go? I mean, I have seen people spend an exorbitant amount of money, you know, 30 and 40 and 50 T-shirts, just because they wanted to go spend money and they didn't have anything else to do that day. And it's like, what are you doing when you still have these bills attached to the board that you know that have to be paid in a week or two? You know, why couldn't those be paid a week or two ahead of time? You know, so how do you even find a plan, or how do you make a plan?
Well, you just hit on my central theme, a one-page document that I truly believe solves all the money and financial problems a family would have, or excuse me, has, as long as they stick to discipline. It's a household budget. I even named my website Household Budget Made Easy, that you get that one document, you stick to it, and you can thrive. You can thrive internally. How can I say that? You can thrive with a peace inside that you're not going in debt. Will you be able to afford everything? No. Will you have to spend less money? Probably than what you're thinking now. The problem is our culture is a debt culture now, and it's been that way probably for about 20, 30 years, that it's okay, I can have my credit card, I can make the payments. Well, the problem that's happened since 2009 is the higher paying jobs are far and few between. The
right.
cutbacks, the furlough days, all these things that reduce inflation, and inflation is going to hit big time here in the next couple of years. It's going to go up another 5. Our cost of living, I really believe, from what I've seen, is going to go up another 5 to 10%. Which means for every $100 you spend, we're going to have to spend an extra $10. Are you ready for that? Or are you spending willy nilly, and then saying, "Oh, I'll worry about that later," and then all of a sudden, what do I do? So it's
right.
the discipline, it's the household budget. Put those two together, and there's nothing that you can't, that you cannot get through financially.
What do you put in a budget? So if you take out your sheet of paper and you start at the top, what do you put? How do you get started?
Real simple. Take your income, how much money you're making. You can take it before taxes or after taxes. To keep it simple, take it after taxes. Whatever you actually physically get in that paycheck or in that direct deposit. Take that amount, you put it down. That's your income. Then you simply take out your deductions. If you've done it before taxes, you have to reduce the taxes to get what's called the net pay. Again, to keep it simple, whatever you happen to get in that paycheck. So let's say you made, rounded off, you brought home $1,000. So at the top of the paper, you put income, $1,000 for the month. Now, down the line, you start putting your expenses. What do you spend money regularly on? Well, there's rent or the mortgage. There is electricity. There's gas. There's garbage. There's food. There's entertainment. There's children's expenses or pet expenses. Generally speaking, about 12 to 15 different categories to get you started. And then you start listing, how much can I expect to spend on my rent? Well, that's easy. It's set in stone. How much on food? Well, then I have to guess. Maybe I have some receipts from before. Maybe I use a checkbook or a credit card. I can go back and look at the statements, get me an average. The average probably is about $75 per person per month right now in the country, $75 to $100, which is very, very much too high, I think. But you start with that, and you reduce. Okay, I'm going to spend $400 or $300 on food, and you start reducing it. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to add up all your expenses, and guess what's going to happen? Take a guess.
You'll find you're imbalanced, huh?
Very imbalanced.
Maybe.
I have yet to meet anybody who has guesstimated their expenses to be less than their income. It just doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's our brains. Oh, I can spend this. I can spend that. I have this much. I get it down to the line, and they say, hold on a second. This isn't going to work. Bingo, the light just went on. It's
right.
not going to work. So then, guess what the next step is? Start fudging with the numbers. You're going to have to. There's only two choices you can make. Those two choices are increase income or decrease expenses. You have no other options. So,
you know, I think seeing it in black and white makes a big difference, because what happens
yeah.
is, you know, when you're thinking, but I always still have money. I can still go. Haven't you seen me? I've been paying my bills. But what you don't realize is that long time ago, when you may have gotten that house, you were paying the electric bill the day the bill came. You know, now you're a week later. Now you're 2 weeks later. Now you're, yeah, when the bill is due, you're calling up to see if you can get it a little bit later. And then all of a sudden you're getting disconnect notices, and you're just the day before the disconnect notice. So, you know, how many times can you get into that train, right? So, I mean, are you really ahead, or are you really 2-3 months behind in everything?
You know, I thought it was the end, and then I have friends who are in the construction business, and one of them, he contracts with Fannie Mae, one of the biggest lenders in the country, house lenders, and mm-hmm. he is saying, I can't keep up with all the work that they're giving me on the foreclosures. So it's still happening. What you just described is still happening. People are
right.
still overspending and are still having to be forced out of their home. So it's still happening. What I tell my clients is, for the first year, I do not allow them to use a computer to keep track of their finances or their money. They have to do it on pen and paper. That way, it gets internalized. It gets into their brain what's really going on with their money. And it takes about a year, realistically, to get a complete 100% picture. You kind of get it between 3 and 6 months. You get the idea, hey, now I understand. But then it takes that full year to understand what your typical spending patterns are, because you spend differently in different months of the year. You spend different in December than you do in June. So you get a realistically average of all your expenditures after a year. And then here's the thing. After you've put it on pen and paper, every single expense for a year, you really got a handle. You can really go to the store and say, I can't afford that. I'm going to put that back. Or they go to the kids, I'm sorry, you can't have that. We can't afford it. And they start understanding that. So, yes, you hit on it. It's got to be written. It's got to be made personalized, and it has to be on paper.
I think every time you start doing stuff on the Internet, or in other words, if it's not something that has to pass your hands, it seems like it's out there. It's not quite real. It's, you know, my bank account will. Yeah, my bank account will take care of it. Oh, I have them all set up for auto draft. I don't worry about it. So what are you worrying about? The money that's in there at the bottom of the day, but you forget the overdraft came out last night or is coming out tonight, and where are you now?
Right. So I'm appealing to those people who are listening to this who are tired of it.
Right.
I do not believe I'm going to capture those who have that still have that attitude, because I don't believe they've sunk deep enough. So I'm after two types of people. One who have sunk deep enough and are ready to, you know, say, you know something, I've had it, I don't want this anymore. And I'm appealing to your listeners who don't want to get to that point, who have finally figured out they've seen their friends, they've seen their family, they don't want to get to that point. They're maybe making $100,000 a year, but if they lose their job because some law came into effect that regulated their company's business and they regulated them out of business, which is not very far fetched, then guess what? They're not making $100,000 anymore.
And you know, I always tell people too about what the budget is. When you sit down, you say, this is how much you make per month. That might be on a long month, like maybe October, when you don't have any holidays that you're off. It's got 31
right.
days, and I know that sounds super crazy, but there are shorter months that have a lot of holidays that you may not get paid holiday pay for, and then what are you looking at? You know, I mean, the worst months ever are months like July, where the 4th of July could fall on a Wednesday and your office is closed for the whole week, or, you know, Christmas and New Year's, when you've got 2 weeks off unpaid that you really didn't want. You know, I think it's so much different anymore when we just don't get paid for every single day just because we have a job.
Right. And that's what the long-term effects of a budget is. You will know the average. So take food. You're going to be spending probably more in the spring and the summer and less in the fall and the winter, because if you have kids, they're not as active. They may not be eating as much. Or the food prices. You get towards the the springtime, the fruit price is a little bit cheaper. Right now, the apples, the example, apples, they're real cheap right now. Here in about another 3-4 weeks, they're going to go back up and be more expensive because of supply and demand. And so you're not worried about that, because if you spend $200 a month in food 1 month, $250 another month, $150 another month, you know your average for the year is $200. So you're going to be setting aside $200 every single month for food. And then you're going to have extra money. You're going to think, oh, I have extra money in the food. I can spend a little bit more. Now, hold on now. You've learned that that's an average. So in December, when you have the extra ham, or in November when the extra turkey you have to buy, you know it's coming. So you're going to have to stick to your average, because it's going to come back and forth. And so that's what I encourage my clients to do.
It'll catch you and it'll bite you somewhere somehow.
Exactly. But if you're on a written plan, you're safe. You get to the point that you're not even thinking about it, because you have those amounts memorized. And eventually, it just becomes so internalized. All you're doing with your budget after 2-3 years is using it to keep track to make sure you didn't make a mistake.
Well, you know, what do you suggest to people? So let's say they put the budget down and we have everything written now, and we really find there are issues. How do you suggest to them to try to start finding tips on saving money? How can you start saving money? Where do you look for those specials or those pricing? Or, you know, how do things change so you can fit within the budget?
Something like that. You start getting in the know. You start learning when the sales are, what stores to buy from. My family and I, we have three stores, specific stores we buy from on certain days, because we know certain things are cheaper. And to start getting to know those things, the resource we have is hitting the internet. I'm going to be a little self-serving here. Householdbudgetmadeeasy.com. You type in the search bar, save money, and I have a gazillion and one tips. Yes, I counted them.
Mm-hmm.
Of different ways to save money. Then after you do that, you pick one item. You pick one item a week. Now think about that. You may not think that's much. You pick one item to save money on. By the end of the year, you have 52 different ways that you're now saving money that you're not even thinking about, because you do it automatically.
I think it's building habits.
Yes, and let's say that one item averages, you just saved $10 for the year. Okay, not a big deal, you think. I only saved $10, whoop-de-doo. Well, if you did 50 items times $10, guess what? You now have an extra $500 in your pocket.
Right.
Now that's a whoop-de-doo big deal.
So what ways do you have there? Like, can you mention a few that you would suggest?
In what type of category?
Pick your category. Do you have different categories, and how does that work?
The favorite one I like to use is food, because it's so volatile and it's so easy to reduce. I have a goal for my family to spend $50 per month per person. We have a family of six. Right now we're spending $326 a month on food. So I haven't got there yet. My goal is $300.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't got there yet. We might get there in the next month or two. And I average food out over the last year or 6 months. Because food, the thing about food is you store it, but it doesn't last in storage for a year. It lasts probably about 6 months. And I have two teenage boys, and we're still able to keep it right now at $326 a month. And here's what I do personally to keep saving on that. I have three different stores that we get the ad, you know, the Wednesday ads. I'm sure everyone across the country gets those, whether it comes on a Tuesday or Wednesday, they get the ads, and they're called lost leaders. The sale items that the grocery stores will put on the very front page, they're called lost leaders because they lose money on it. They either sell it at cost or a little bit below, but that gets you into the store. And they're banking on that you buy, you got to buy your milk, you got to buy some eggs. Oh, I need this and I need that. Okay. So I go and I look for the lost leaders. And I only frequent the stores that are on my, on the way, what do we call them, errand list. that I'm going to go buy there anyway. So I go to one store, and I might buy grapes at 75 cents a pound, and tri-tip, I just bought a bunch of tri-tip beef for $2.38 a pound. And I think that's an only cut, that's a type of cut. It's only in California anyway. It's a really good cut of beef, similar to a sirloin. And so I keep watching on these prices, and I only buy from those stores on those prices when they come on sale. So we ask, what's for dinner? I don't know. Let's find out what was on sale. What do we have in the fridge? And the only thing that's in the fridge or in the freezer or in the pantry are things we bought on sale. We have a store locally. I don't know what the names of them are typically, but they're a dented can store, meaning they buy all these outdated canned goods or stuff that's dented that stores don't want anymore, and they put it on their shelves. And I go buy a jar of peanut butter for $1.50, organic peanut butter for $1.50. I go buy a five-pound bag of great flour for $1.50, the one that you have to buy in the store for $5. And so we stock up on our staples that way. I know locally where the milk is the cheapest, so I frequent that place. We go to a bread store. Instead of paying $3.50 for bread or $4, I buy it there for $1.50, as long as I buy at least three loaves. And with six people, we go through, if we're using bread regularly, my wife said we go through almost a loaf a day. So imagine adding an extra $2-3 per loaf if we go through that much because we have so many people in our family. So that kind of gives you a gist on that. For the dryer, here's an outlandish, I don't know if anybody would be willing to do this, but our dryer broke down in May, and I just got lazy. You know something? We have the sun. So since May, we have been putting our clothes out on the line, and we put it in the dryer just to fluff it up. The heater part of the dryer doesn't work, but the dryer, so we ordered a heater, and now my 12-year-old son, is going to fix the dryer because we're getting the part in. So now, finally, the weather's getting bad. Okay, we're going to fix our dryer and we'll use it. Well, how much money did that save? I looked it up, and for my dryer, it saves about an average of 40 cents a load. And we do probably, let's say, 10 loads a week. So we're talking, you know, probably about $15 a month savings times 6 months. That's a little bit, and it just keeps adding up.
Well, I know for myself, we had three units attached to our televisions, and they had the green light that everybody knows, you know. So on those three units, when they took them away at the end of 2 months ago, we noticed all of a sudden our electric bill went down $20. And I've been trying to tell everybody in the house, you know, shut the things off, blah, 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 and nobody wants to listen. So finally, when they were gone, it was great, and they could see that. But, you know, I think until somebody actually sees it or totally pulls it out of the wall, they're not going to see those changes in electric. I know when I go to the grocery store, I only go, and whatever's in the newspaper, like you said on the front page, that's it. That's all I get. If we're going to have chicken 7 days a week, well, we'll have chicken 7 days a week. It won't kill you, you know? And, I mean, it really doesn't make any difference. So, but when my husband goes, he says, we'll get for tonight. And then he always ends up spending more money because he's buying with his eyes instead of with his, you know, pocketbook, you know? So he never, ever does that. And those are two of the things.
Dr. Jeanette, that's what a budget does. That's the beauty of it. It's, okay, before I leave, how much money do I have left in this envelope, so to speak, or on this budget to spend for food? Okay, I have, because I always put my clients on the cash method for groceries, for a couple items, and one of them is groceries. You can't use a credit card, you can't use a checkbook for groceries for the next 3 months. Forbidden. So whatever you happen to have in that envelope, that's all you have left.
That's right.
Make do. And that's the money that you said, and I don't care how much you put in there, and I don't tell them you have to put $100 or $200. I tell them, you tell me how much money you're going to put in there. And they do. And they, and you know, the first few months it gets adjusted, you know, $5, $10 up or down. But when they go to the grocery store, they've committed not to spend any money, and they get they say, David, okay, we ran out of milk, what do I do? Well, do without milk or take some money from your entertainment envelope. But
right.
I need to, we wanted to rent that DVD. Well, yeah. You have a decision to make, don't you? And then that's where the rubber meets the road. The understanding, the internalizing comes into play. So you have to have a written budget. You have to make it personal, and you have to have the discipline.
You know, I find so many times, too, I know we have, I'm sure people have seen on TV, it says bundle your services, you know, your cable, your TV, and your phone, and we did that. And at the time we had gotten the services, their rates were high. But then after Hurricane Katrina, and I would remind everybody of this, if you're in a natural disaster area, all of your services after a storm go through the roof. Because
oh, yeah.
they have to recapture all of the fees and expenses and lost income that they had the last quarter. They will go through the roof. So what you do is as soon as they go through the roof, the next month you call them up and you say, I can't pay through the roof. You need to give me discounts. And they will. So that's a tip for your listeners also, is because it's very important. I know even to this day, now we're, what, 6 years later or seven, we are still calling every month to get our bill back to pre-Katrina status, you know, on
really?
The rates. Mm-hmm. And electric bills,
wow.
there will always be a fee associated with a storm. If we pulled out our electric bills today, we would see fee Hurricane Katrina, fee Hurricane Gustav, fee Hurricane
really?
Isaac. We're set, 7 years out on Katrina, 6 on Gustav, and just this year Isaac, and we are still paying all of those fees. So for people to not think, you know, there are going to be fees there, they are sadly mistaken. And I always tell people, and we learned our lesson the hard way, is that if you live in an area that's substantially devastated, you need to leave. You really need to leave, because your bottom line, you're not going to be able to make it. And everybody thinks money comes in from Red Cross, money comes in from the government and FEMA and my insurance and blah, blah, blah. It's not going to work that way, because all
it
of these other things go through the roof.
Yeah, the money only lasts as long as the media is giving them airplay.
But I'll tell you, everybody thinks that they're getting money from Red Cross and Salvation Army and all of these other fundraisers that go on. The people never
yeah.
see that money. I can tell you sure as I'm sitting here, and I'd stand up to anyone in their face, show me where your money went, and they can show you. It did not go.
So then how do you prepare for that?
How do you prepare for that? What you do is you, right. So if you're a regular, let's say I'm a renter, make sure you have renter's insurance, because then if a storm devastates your location, they will be able to help you with an apartment until you decide, I need to get out of this place for good, or I need to figure out what I'm going to be able to do for other living arrangements. So definitely you must have renter's insurance and make sure it's paid the month before a storm comes. So how do you do that? You make sure you're paying. And then with insurance on homes, you know, they're going to have, is it flood where the water comes in below? Well, people say, oh, no, but, you know, my house flooded. Well, did the water come in from the ocean or the lake or the stream? No, it kind of came through the roof. Well, that's not flood. That's called wind. And you flooded your house, but it came through via wind. So all of these things people do need to know, because if your house is really destroyed, to get people in there to clean it out, number one, to fix it again, number two, to pay to have it all done, three, number four, where are you going to live in the meantime? Number five, how are you going to be able to get those supplies in there? All this does not come from the government. It does not come from your insurance, and it does not come from the volunteers. And you won't see any of that media hype fundraising. So it is definitely a difference for people to pay attention. If you do have a natural disaster in your area, that's when I suggest people leave, you know, as we will be eventually, but it's just not, you just need to not be going back to those areas. Your budget won't survive because you won't even have work.
I know, hurricane after hurricane, and people still stay in the area. You know, well, I guess it's home. I'm out here in California, and I'm wondering if we were devastated by an earthquake, would I leave?
Okay, but what is home? What is home? Home is yourself. House is that in which you live.
Yeah.
And so, I'm a big believer on you need to leave materialistic behind. And a lot of people have a hard time with budget because they say, well, I need this, that, and the other. And the answer is, do you really need all of that? That's material. And what do you decide about materialistic things? And when you see you go into your house and you say, I just bought that $14,000 thing in there and that was $200 and I can't throw away this sweater because it was $400 and I got it on sale for $200, but it's all moldy and everything else. It's called, all that stuff is going to the curb. Material goes.
Yeah, that's something else you hit on, needs versus wants. I wrote an article on that, determining what do you really need versus something that you really want, and how disciplined are you to actually say, no, I do not need that. This other thing will do something similar, and I can get by.
Well, I know after disasters, and it happened here, and it will happen in New York, people say, oh, now it's time. I can finally get that upgraded kitchen. I can get that brand-new stove I never had. Well, you know what? It's going to, you may get as far as putting up your walls and your insulation, and due to costs, you may not be able to even afford the stove that goes in the kitchen. So, you know, when things double and triple in an area, it's important to know that.
And I need some wood right now for a couple projects I'm doing. I don't want to go into the home improvement stores and see the price of wood right now because of Sandy. I remember last time a $7 piece of sideboard, it was up to $15.
Right.
Whoa.
And it is escalated in different areas. So if you say, oh, well, I live in New York City and I got affected, but then I have relatives in Vermont. They didn't get hurt, or Chicago. But all of those supplies come from those areas, will start getting drawn in from those areas, and your rates will start going up too. You know, so it's really I find finances are more like an amoeba. You know, they have no ends, they have no corners, no sides. They just kind of float around, and it can go up and it can go down. And you just kind of, like you said, have to find your average in that.
And again, I'm going to harp on the same thing back to be prepared. Start now. Get out a piece of paper. Start writing. Have your listeners start write income and expenses down. And start now. And if you write down every single expense, what I have my clients do for the first 30 days, write down, and I give them a special chart, every single purchase that you make. And after a while, you'll start looking at the list and think, oh, I eat out that much? Whoa.
Right.
Or, really? I bought that much worth of clothes? Where are they? So, and I really didn't need this, or I really didn't need that. And so go hit the website, go hit the internet, and just look for different ways to save. But they've got to get on a written budget. There's nothing around that, at least from my standpoint, from my experience working with others.
And I think you can always save, too, you know, if you just ask. I know we have State Farm insurance, and this is a plug for State Farm because I will tell you we've had experiences with the other insurance companies, and I won't go there. But State Farm, when you have your renters and you do bundle with your car and then, you know, whatever else you have, and you link that all together with State Farm, you get a really good discount. But I have noticed in the past 2 years, they didn't bundle the discounts. So, like, my daughter was on there, my son was on there, my husband was on there, and I was. But we didn't get the, quote, multi-line discount. And I'm like, okay, we've had this policy now for 15 years, and why does it not say that on there? So I called them up, and they're like, oh, I don't know why you don't. So they just pushed a button, and it went on. But all that time, I lost all that money, like $40, $50 a month. You know, so it's really up to the consumer to pay attention to what is available.
Very interesting. Pay attention to your statements, what's coming in, what's going out. Yes.
You know, I think those little flyers, you know, the little flyers you always get in with your bill and you say, I don't read those. The answer is read them or read some sign. They may have a little advertisement on the side of your bill that'll say, save money with this or that. Or, and it may be something that's new that just comes up and you might not even know that.
Yeah, just pick one thing. We started a few months ago, we started unplugging any appliance that we weren't using.
Yep.
And our bill went down, was it $5, $6, just from the few plugs that we left in. Because what we don't realize, what I didn't realize, is when something's plugged in, even though it's not on, it's still drawing electricity.
Yeah,
and
all those little tiny clocks or green lights you just don't need to have on. You don't need 20 clocks going on in your house, you know.
And so
like one on the
TV
coffee pot and everything
my TV,
else.
TV, I would say VCR, but a little might tell me how old I am. my DVD player, the Wii and all that is all on one power strip. And the only reason I was always leaving it on was to, for that clock to work, you know, so it wouldn't blink.
Right.
And I started realizing, you know something? We have enough clocks around this place. I don't need that extra one. So now I put it on a strip, put it back behind our cabinet where I can reach it, and when wherever done for the night, I turn it off, saving me over time a good chunk of change.
Yeah, and everybody thinks, like let's say you save $20 a month. Well, $20 is enough to go out to eat that you were hoping for, you know? So where $20 a month might be that sweater that you need.
Or for that $1,000 emergency fund for when your tire gets blows out, gets a hole in it. I just had a tire get a hole in it twice in 2 days, picked up two different nails. I had to pay for that. So for those unexpected that will happen, save that $20, and eventually you won't have to use the credit card. You were asking for tips. Here's a new tip my wife and I just learned about we're going to implement during the winter, is I heard to put bubble wrap on your windows. And on the windows where the sun comes in, because it acts as a magnifying glass and it draws in the heat.
Right.
So if I put it on the side of the house where the sun is constantly shining, I'll put it on there and it's going to radiate more heat for me in the morning all the way up until about 1 o'clock, and that'll keep the place a little bit warmer. And I suspect if I do that, I may save a buck or two a month. And it didn't cost me, you know, much to put it up. So, again, I'm into the $1 or $2 savings per month kind of ideas, because I have learned from experience that if I hadn't, I'd probably be paying between $800 and $1,000 extra a month on different little things.
That's right. You know, here's the other tip about tires. With Pep Boys, if you buy your tires at Pep Boy, they give you a card. And if you pick up a nail at any time or have a blowout or anything, and the tire can still be fixed, they fix it for free.
Really?
Yeah.
See? There's another one.
That's right. And I don't know how many times my sons have had that happen, because after storms and stuff, you know, nails are everywhere. So everybody decides, let's go to Pep Boys, because then they'll fix it for free. And they did every single time. It doesn't matter if it's 5 times, 2 times, or 10, they fix it.
Here's another thing you can do. Most people have Facebook, and most of the time they just gossip or socialize. Put a little thing out, what is your best way to save money?
Right.
And get one or two tips from your friends that have worked. Go to, you know, or any other social media that you're on, or if you're on the phone with someone, hey, how do you save money on food? And you might grab another idea.
Definitely makes a difference. So, David, we're coming to the end of the show. Could you please give us some information about how – yeah, we have about 8 more minutes. So if you could give us some information. I know you have some seminars and you have some different download links on your website, and also what your websites are, so people would be able to find more information.
Yes, my website is householdbudget, madeeasy.com, with or without the dashes in between the words. There I have audios, I have a lot of articles, I have ebooks that you can download for free. I do have a little budget store for downloading further items. You can get on the newsletter there and get tips that I send out. You can go to my Facebook page, Household Budget Planning. We can converse there. You can get a hold of me through my website. There's a contact form or again, through Facebook. That is the centerpiece. There's a web page there for financial coaching. There's a link on the right-hand side, a circle, that you can learn more about what I do and how I help people through my financial coaching, individualized. If you're local, we meet together if you happen to be here in the Central Valley of California. If not, we can meet over the phone like this or via Skype. I've met with some people from Skype all the way in the eastern side of Canada. Technology is wonderful. We can do that. So that's my main claim to helping people, is getting them on a budget through a personalized one-year program. And to get taste, you can go to my website. And tell you what, if any of your listeners contacts me through my Facebook page, Household Budget Planning, and mentions, hey, I heard you on the Dr. Jeanette show, you mentioned about getting a free audio seminar, I will send the link to that. I do sell that on my website for $10. But over the next couple weeks, if one of your listeners happens to mention that they heard me, I will go ahead and send them the link without having to pay for it.
Thank you so much. I know that the listeners, they do listen on archives, and I know that it, you know, a little extended time is great. And definitely now that it's the holiday season, I think people are finding themselves, you know, what are we going to do now and how are we going to be able to make it through this season? You know, I saw a post yesterday that said, you know, depending on who the president would be, decided what they were going to do about their business. So I guess I'm kind of concerned with a lot of people about, you know, are you still going to have a job next month or next year? And I know a lot of people are worried about that.
And to get off right, and to reduce that worry, they have to get hold of their finances, get a hold of their money, and make it personal.
I think the sooner the better most of the time, because when, you know, you get caught in that, you know, and you walk in and, you know, the doors are locked, you don't have any notice. A lot of people that have small businesses these days, their expenses are going through the roof. And if all of a sudden in 1 month, or maybe they have been behind on all of their bills, and you go to work one day and it's locked because maybe they got foreclosed on, or maybe they've been behind on all their bills and now the business is up for taxes and you can't even find the person because they're too embarrassed to even face you. You know, there's so many things going on these days. I really think getting and knowing who you are and what you have and, you know, how you're able to spend that is very important.
Exactly, and I really believe that unemployment will go up. Now, in what sectors, that I can't say for sure, but I believe the biggest hit is going to be in the small business. So if somebody is working in a business under 100 employees, just be prepared. Just simply.
Yeah, I think so too.
And so people may say, well, David, charging this money for financial coaching and I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell people is, you know something? The amount of money, the found money that we're going to save you, that you're going to save, is going to double, triple, quadruple. It's not unheard of. It's normal to save thousands of dollars in real money based on the tips and the tricks and the system that I put people on. And that way more than pays the amount. And no one is going to pay $1,000 for my services, yet they're going to be saving thousands and be able to pay off their mortgage in 11 years. Think about that. Can you imagine being personal debt-free in 4 years and completely debt-free of your house debt in 11 years?
Right. That does make a difference.
It does. I had someone who was working with me, and they had $200,000 in personal debt, not mortgage, personal debt, credit card type debt. And we put them on a plan to get him out, and the numbers worked, and he agreed, and he went to work on getting out of debt in 7 years on $200,000.
Wow.
Without much of a reduction in the actual everyday lifestyle. So don't let that be a hindrance.
Yeah, I think we've definitely covered the good, bad, and the ugly about money in this hour. And I really think that's important to do talk about that, because sometimes those are the fears that hold you back. And you're like, am I only thinking about those? And the answer is no. If you are thinking it, somebody else is too. So if you're afraid of something, or you're spending something, or you may say, oh, well, I don't know about that, and maybe I should be thinking about that. You know, you can check out David's website, and I can tell you there's tons of information there. When I looked at it, it was like, okay, where do I want to start? So just pick a topic, you know, put it in the search thing, just sit down and pick one topic at a time. And like you said, you know, to start saving money, if you start saving maybe 2 or 3 weeks into it, you'll find that extra savings money to be able to then find the money to have David help you further. You know, so if you say, I can't have David help me today, you may be able to have David help you next month because you've already saved per month. So, David, I'd like to thank you so much for being on the show today. If you could please give us your website again and where people could find out more information about you and the services you provide, that would be great.
Thank you, and again, and thank you. I've really enjoyed this time. People can get a hold of me at householdbudgetmadeeasy.com, householdbudgetmadeeasy.com, or on Facebook, Household Budget Planning, or on Twitter, if people do Twitter, it's Easy Budgeting.
That's absolutely great, and thank you so much for being with us today. I know there's a lot of tips, and a lot of people will be having questions. It's just inevitable. Just a matter of time before it might hit you, you know?
And if anybody has a question who happens to be listening to this now, live or archived, by all means, go to my website, householdbudgetmadeeasy.com. Go to the contact form and ask the question. I'm not going to charge you. I'll answer any question that's asked.
Yeah, I think even if we said to you, you know, I'm stuck and I don't know how to get out of the mud, you know,
yes,
there is help
I'll
there.
Help you. I'll set you at least getting to first base, getting to a level higher than what you are now.
Thank you so much for being with us today, David.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. Goodbye.
So to everyone, all my listeners, until tomorrow and another show and another topic, I'd like to thank you for being with us today. And if you'd like to know more information about David, please visit the show description where his links are also available. You can just click on them and you'll go right to his page. And also, if you'd like to know more information about myself or my websites, that link is also in the show description. Thank you so much for being with us today, and this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.